Well, today the Supreme Court issued a split ruling on an Indiana abortion statute signed into law by Vice President Mike Pence when he was governor in the state. The law makes it illegal for abortion providers to dispose of fetal remains with other surgical tissue and instead mandates that fetal remains be separately buried or cremated. Although a lower court had struck down that provision, the Supreme Court today, by a 7-2 vote, upheld it. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg joins us now from Washington with more on this. Hi, Nina.
Hi.
So there's another part of this law that the court agreed should not stand, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But first, why did the court overrule the lower court on this part of the law?
Well, the court said that it didn't meet the standard, the law had a rational purpose. The purpose was that states want to regulate fetal remains, and that they did so for a rational reason, and that therefore the court was not going to disturb the law, and that the law should stand. Two justices dissented and said they would have struck it down, Justices Ginsburg and Sotomayor. Ginsburg styled hers as a concurrence because this was a per curiam unsigned opinion for the court. They treated this relatively briefly and said even that a fetal remains law might be challenged using a different, more rigorous standard. That is, that it imposed an undue burden on a woman's right to choose whether to have an abortion. Instead, they used the lower standard, said, look, the state has the right to regulate and had a decent reason here. If you could show that it imposes an undue burden in some other case, have at it.
But meanwhile, there's this other provision of the law where the Supreme Court actually agreed with the lower court that it should be blocked. Tell us more about that part.
Well, the law bars abortion based on any diagnosis of fetal abnormality or disability or for reasons of race, sex, gender, ancestry, national origin, etc. Mm-hmm. And the lower court struck that down and said those choices essentially are up to a woman, that the law interferes with those choices. And the Supreme Court did not disturb that lower court ruling. That doesn't mean it upheld it. I know that sounds crazy, mm-hmm. but it didn't disturb it. It said, look, this is the first time we've gotten a case like this. So far, we don't see any reason to disturb it. We need to hear from other courts, and at some point later, we might disturb it. But we for the moment, uphold for all practical purposes what the lower court did, which was to strike down the law.
So does this give you any sense, as we've got all of these abortion laws coming up around the country that will eventually make their way to the Supreme Court, does today's ruling give you any sense of where the court is on this issue?
It looks like the court is where we all think it is, with five justices who never would have signed under Roe versus Wade. But some of them are unsure as to whether to reverse it outright, how far to go in undoing what the court has done since 1973 in assuring women a right to have an abortion in the first two trimesters, essentially, before the fetus is viable. And they're just not sure, I think, where they want to go and how far they want to go and how fast they want to go. But there's no doubt that you can see it even in the fetal remains part of this decision, that that's the direction in which they're going. But as I said, it's not clear how far they're going to go or how long it's mm-hmm. going to take.
But it does sound like Justice Clarence Thomas, one of the conservatives on the court, was critical today of the court's reluctance to take up the Indiana law more fully.
Critical is an understatement. Mm-hmm. He issued a 20-page opinion styled as a concurrence and blasting his colleagues, saying this case highlights the fact that abortion is an act rife with the potential for eugenic manipulation from the beginning. Birth control and abortion were promoted as means of effecting eugenics. And although he didn't go as far as to compare modern abortion and birth control to be mm-hmm. the product of elites seeking modern-day eugenics, he went on at great length about how the founders of Planned Parenthood a century ago or so did. and even more recently, he maintained. The court's decision, he says, to allow further percolation of this issue, the issue of when you whether you can terminate a pregnancy based on disability or race or sex, etc., should not be interpreted as an agreement with the decision below, enshrining a constitutional right of an unborn child as Planned Parenthood advocates would constitutionalize the views of the 20th century eugenics movement. So he had quite a day of saved up anger about abortion rights.
Nina, just a few seconds left here, but I just want to note that the court also left in place today a lower court ruling in favor of transgender students in a Pennsylvania school district.
This school district allows some transgender students to use whatever bathrooms they want. And the court let that stand. When the Supreme Court doesn't take up a case and just leaves it, that's what it does with thousands of cases that come to the court. It has no real significance except that the justices decided that they didn't want to hear this case or this issue now. And that's about all you can take away from it.
NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg, thank you.
Thank you.